It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Paul Singer joins us every Wednesday for a look at what's going on in Congress.
First, the state Senate wrapped up their legislative session yesterday.
A lot of bills on the table dealing with everything from oral chemotherapy to DNA collection. So what passed the Senate and what missed the cut?
Here to give us a roundup of a smorgasbord of activity at the state capitol is Sean Johnson. He's WPR's state capitol reporter. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, the big drama in the last few weeks of the session was this oral chemotherapy bill. A lot of question as to whether it would pass. What ended up coming down in the Senate after a bumpy road?
Yeah, well, I mean, ultimately, it did pass, though it's not the clean version of the bill that was bottled up in committee a few weeks ago and that already passed the Senate on a 30-2 vote. You know, essentially what happened with this bill, if you want to go through all the procedural gymnastics, this is something that Republican leaderships used a very unusual tactic to keep it from getting a vote in the Senate. There was kind of a public backlash. A lot of legislators came out and said, we got to act on this. The Senate voted on it and it passed 30-2. That bill would have required insurance companies to charge the same for coverage of chemotherapy, whether it's delivered at home with a pill or at a clinic through an IV. Got bumped over to the Assembly. The Assembly didn't like that. They added an amendment that would have allowed for a $100 monthly copay for chemotherapy drugs. Then the Senate yesterday kind of reluctantly accepted that amendment. And on a vote of 26-7, they sent it to the governor's desk, and he's going to sign it.
Since it was coming down to the wire, there was concern that any amendment in the Assembly might just postpone the bill to the next session, right?
Yeah, and if you listen to people's comments on the floor, even Republican author Alberta Darling, a state senator from River Hills, they didn't like that amendment. You know, there were some Democrats arguing that this was creating just a big loophole for insurance companies that, you know, in fact, it wouldn't be $100 a month that insurance companies would be able to charge that copay for every drug in a chemo cocktail for some patients. And that the amendment was kind of silent on whether insurance companies could increase deductibles or coinsurance to make up the difference. You know, those concerns aside, this is the end of session, and the Assembly already said it was going home, and this was the deal that was on the table. And so, you know, you had a few more no votes yesterday, but ultimately a pretty strong vote sending it to the governor's desk.
So it was take it or leave it for supporters of that bill. Well, another bill that passed the Senate had to do with medical application of cannabis oil. What would that do?
Yeah, and to be clear, this is not medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an issue that the Republican majority here has shown no interest in supporting. And really, it's been a few years now, but when Democrats ran things, they didn't want to pass that bill either. This is a different issue, and it would legalize the use of a marijuana byproduct. I have trouble pronouncing this, cannabidiol. Essentially, it's got a very low levels of the drug THC, which is the substance in marijuana that gives users a high. And this bill would lift which essentially a blanket prohibition on this substance right now, and would let doctors prescribe it for seizure disorders. And this is something that was pushed very hard by parents of kids with seizure disorders who said that they've tried everything else, tried, you know, more than a dozen medications in some of these cases. It's given their kids stomach disorders, liver disorders. They want to try something new. They've heard that this doesn't have those kinds of side effects. And you actually had a number of parents in the gallery yesterday when this passed. They were in tears as the Senate was taking this up, and they all cheered when it passed 32-0.
And has this already passed the Assembly?
It has, and it had a similar they had a unanimous voice vote over there. So, you know, even though this is a byproduct of marijuana, you didn't see, you know, any of those arguments come out. I mean, you didn't see any opponents come out and say this is a slippery slope. This had, you know, nearly every legislator on board, and it sounds like the governor is going to sign it as well.
And assuming he does, do we know when this would be available to those parents or their kids?
You know, that I don't know. I'm not sure when it takes effect.
A lot of medical news from the Senate yesterday. Also a bill on doctors' apologies and how it affects lawsuits. Tell us about that one.
This is a bill that has been around in one form or another since 2005, and it's always, you know, been defeated in one way or another. Back in 2005, it was then-Governor Jim Doyle who ultimately vetoed that bill, but in other sessions, it just hasn't gone anywhere. It would, you know, the basic premise of the bill is the same now as it was then. It would say that, you know, a doctor would be able to say, I'm sorry, or express some kind of compassion to a family of, you know, a patient who died without worrying that those words alone were going to put the have the doctor get sued. So, you know, the concept there is something that I think a lot of people support. I think what gets tricky with this bill is that it's not just about doctors saying, I'm sorry. It does go beyond that. As critics pointed out, it talks about any statement, gesture, or conduct that expresses an apology, remorse, or even fault, that would be inadmissible as evidence in court. So it's one of those bills that's short and sounds simple, but as you read it, you could imagine different scenarios where this could be used to prevent a lawsuit.
So this could cover everything from a neutral statement like, I'm sorry, we did everything we could, to I'm sorry, we made a mistake. But even that saying, we made a mistake, in the context of an apology, it sounds like then couldn't be used in the course of a lawsuit.
Yeah, that was one of the examples. I mean, the examples like those were thrown out by opponents during debate. And so, you know, I guess we won't know until it gets tested. The bill would not prevent those types of statements from coming out in discovery, before a case goes forward. But you couldn't present it to a jury once the case has gone to court.
And that one, again, expected to be signed by the governor?
His office only said that he would review it. I would imagine, though, on bills like this, he's generally going to side, I think it's probably likely he's going to sign this. He's only vetoed one bill outright since he's been governor. That happened about a week ago. But, you know, most of the time he's on the same page as the legislature.
And four state senators on their way out gave their farewell remarks yesterday. Three Democrats, I think one Republican. Similar message, they want more compromise in the state legislature. Can you give us a little taste of what they had to say?
Yeah, State Senator John Layman, a Democrat from Racine. State Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat from Janesville. State Senator Bob Jauch, Democrat from Poplar. And State Senator Dale Schultz, a Republican from Richland Center, all gave their farewell speeches in the Senate. Schultz, Cullen, and Jauch have really, at this point in their careers, kind of become kindred spirits. You know, they've all been around for a while, they've seen a lot, and they seem to have hit this point where they all, agree with each other on many of the issues of the day. And they really did hit that common theme of, it's not like it used to be. We used to work together a lot more, and we don't anymore. That partisanship has taken over the place, and there's just no politics for the common good in the state Senate anymore. So they sort of ended on a positive note and urged people to get back to that. But at the same time, it's that atmosphere that's part of the reason that they said they're leaving.
Any sense that their colleagues listened? Do you think we might see more of that kind of compromise in the next session?
They listened yesterday in the sense that both the leaders decided that the more partisan speeches they were about to give to cap off the session, that they'd just save those for later and give them to the press on their own. So for one evening, that bipartisan tone won the day. But no, I mean, I don't think that next session is going to be any different than this one.
All right, Sean, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson. He's WPR's state capitol reporter, catching us up on yesterday's smorgasbord of activity in the state Senate.
Coming up in just a moment, it's time for a weekly look at Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer.